lot of people see it as a novelty that it will wear off. We don't. We see a way bigger future. We haven't touched the tip of the iceberg when it comes to snail farming in Ireland yet.
Welcome to The Gab, a fortnightly podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thank you for clicking and downloading. This is episode 9. After the big move from Galway City to tranquil Ballycura near Tuam, Stephen and Sandra Ryan knew that sheep and cattle farming alone wouldn't financially sustain a growing family and a hefty mortgage. A man who doesn't rest on his laurels, Stephen started to think. With the aid of Google, he looked up speciality farming. What he found set him on course for the highs and lows of a shell-shocking niche market. Have a listen as he takes us at snail's pace on a journey to the success he enjoys today. Hi everyone, you're very, very welcome to our podcast today. This is episode 9 and I'm down here in Ballycura, down just outside of Tuam on the Athenry Road, and I'm speaking with Stephen Ryan here. He's the CEO, if you want to call it that, of Exclusive Escargot Ireland. Thanks so much for having me here, Stephen.
Thanks, Roland, and this is the first podcast I've been on, so forgive me if it's a bit shaky.
Not at all. It's fantastic. The best way to put it is I'm intrigued, because today we're having a chat about snail farming. Now, some people might think that we're completely and utterly crazy having this chat, but we had a pre-chat as well, and we spoke about all the lucrative side of this. It's a phenomenal market, it really is.
Yeah.
First of all, how did you get into it? Where did the ideas come in your head?
For us, this goes back to 2013 when we were still living in Galway City and I was still working as a barber, and the kids got to around school age. And when they got around school age, we kind of made the decision to move out of the city, move back home. And with doing that then, we made the decision to build a house on the home farm. And because we're doing that then, we came back to the farm. So we had to look at the farm in a completely 21st century way of how to farm and new ways and new ideas. Because to keep doing sheep and cattle for us, it wouldn't pay a mortgage and wouldn't raise the kids. So we had to look at other newer ideas. And we looked at so many different things and none of them would ever tick all the boxes. So it ended up coming back to looking for something outside the box a bit. And we came across snail farming on the internet, above all places. And we spent a year researching into it. And it, for us and our farm, it ticked all the boxes that we could. Small parcel land, good money, could pay mortgage. So that's a year research then. We went down that road of starting up. We started the snail farm itself in 2014 and spent 4 years making mistakes until we got it right. Because when you learn everything off the internet, it's all about different countries and different climates. We had to change this and chop this so many times to get it suited to the Irish climate. And once we did that then, we had the sweet spot got. And it was just time to grow it and get it bigger after that. So it took us, say, about 5 years or so before we ever finally got our first product in our hand, the escargot itself. And then it was all about aiming to go to restaurants and meet chefs and sit down with chefs and talk to chefs and see, can we try to get them on the menu? And luckily enough, the chefs that we did come on board with us still have them on the menu and still use them
to this day.
So everything was going grand. Then we got the phone call from BBC Radio and we went over and did that. Then we were on RTE Radio and then we were on Ear to the Ground and everything was rolling as good as you can come. And then 2020 came and stopped all that.
Yeah, put a halt to all our gallops, to be honest with you. What did you key into the internet? How were you maybe lying in the bed beside herself on the phone and you kind of went, what did you put into the internet to find out about snail farming?
When you Google all farming stuff, just the normal stuff comes up, chickens, pigs, turkeys, all the usual stuff. So I was lying there one day and I just Googled speciality farming just to see was there anything different or any niches or anything else that we looked into, and snails pops up whenever you start looking into speciality farming. And that is honestly where it came out of. It came from that.
Right, okay. So obviously you had to get, you had the chat with herself. Yeah. You decided to go with
and
it.
And Dad, don't forget.
And of course, Dad, the next generation who's living next door to you here. Did he think you were mad?
Straight jacket, ready to be signed off mad, yes. Still kind of does, in a way.
Yeah.
But fully supportive at the same time.
Of course. So obviously you had to get the place geared up for it, get it ready, you know, because obviously this doesn't just happen all of a sudden. So tell us, what steps did you have to start up first to get everything rolling?
We learnt everything off the internet, which in hindsight, 2020 is brilliant and all that. Our mistake was we never travelled. We've travelled since and it was the best thing we ever got to do. We should have done that before we started. And seeing different countries in different ways, but we didn't. So we learnt everything off the internet and we only came across one rule book, I suppose you could call it, and we copied that rule book second for second and day for day to find out that their way of doing it and our way of doing it are two completely different things. So when we started first, it was all about indoor breeding, intensive indoor breeding and pony tunnels and fields and back indoor breeding and pony tunnels and fields. And now we've changed from there to now where it's as natural as we can do it. We breed them, raise them. Everything is done outdoors as nature intended. There's no indoor stuff. It's all pure natural. So we made nothing but mistakes. And each year we tweaked them and made things a bit better and a bit better and a bit better until we got to where we are now. So it was a steep learning curve.
And it's completely sustainable.
Completely, we've no heavy machinery, no nothing. Snails don't damage land. You can have a lot of snails in a small quarter acre, half acre sites. And the amount of money we can bring in off that will match the rest of the farm here. So everything we do, it's as easy and as sustainable as we can do it.
And are there many more in Ireland that do this?
17 farms.
In total?
Up and going, yeah.
Throughout the 32 counties?
Yeah. It's only a new... A lot of people see it as a novelty, that it will wear off. We don't. We see a way bigger future. We haven't touched the tip of the iceberg when it comes to snail farming in Ireland yet.
But we'll get into the scientific side of that very shortly, because I was completely overwhelmed with the different things that can be done with the snails itself. So obviously you got it up and running. And just to give people a visual of what you have here at the moment, because I saw it outside, you have obviously the polytunnel out there and you have the other area out to the right-hand side that has kind of almost like a breathable net. Yes, exactly. And what I've never seen in my life is an electric fence for a snail to stop them from getting out over a particular area, which is mad and all that. But just to give people an idea, you have lats, pretty much, what would you call them, 2x1 lats?
Yeah.
Left up against a lat running through the centre. Yeah. So it's almost like as if you were making a fire. And they're just left up. And the underside of that is where all the snails reside.
Yep, sleep during the day, yeah.
So you said nighttime is a hive of activity out there. It's a bit like a nightclub.
Yes, that's when they're rocking and rolling. You have to go down with a torch at nighttime to see the place in full swing.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's a sight, so it is.
And speak to me as well about they're dual sexed. Am I right on saying that? As in
Both sexed. Yeah. And so they've male and female parts in the same body. So when they come together for the few minutes of fun, they impregnate each other. So the two actual snails are pregnant at the same time. So you're going to get two lots of babies out of the two snails with the one mating.
And then obviously when they impregnate each other, there's kind of like a bubble that forms around the area under the shell. And that's where all the babies are stored.
You'll have the shell on the outside, an egg sac fully around that on the inside, and then mammy herself is in the middle of that. So eggs or babies are never formed inside mammy. They're actually formed outside mammy. And the bigger them eggs get, the bigger that will come, and it'll swell out over the shell and over the lip of the shell, because the eggs are just getting bigger and bigger.
And speak to us about how they dip their heads into the ground and dig down into the soil. Tell us about that.
So when the eggs are fully mature and ready for laying, the mammy will just go into the ground. She'll dig a hole down about 2 inches. Fully, her head will be fully in the ground, and then she'll release all the eggs and she'll come back up and she'll just cover over that hole. And 2 weeks later, them eggs will hatch into tiny, tiny, tiny babies.
And are those babies born with a tiny shell?
Yes.
Or is it, is the shell something that grows upon them over a period of time?
No, they're born with the shell fully formed. The shell is unbelievably soft when they're that young, but when they get older, that shell gets harder and harder and harder.
And bigger, obviously.
And bigger, yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing, to be honest with you, because I was out there and I was just looking at all the bits and pieces. And obviously, at the moment, they're at different sizes because they're obviously going through the process of aging, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
Tell us when you're about to do a harvest and what's going on with the harvest.
We usually do three harvests a year, three big harvests a year, and they're the main ones. So it's normally around January time. Mm. There's no set dates or times on this. It all depends on weather and the usual Irish stuff. So January, in around January, March and May kind of be the usual last harvesting that we'll do. And then come June, we're getting it ready, like we are now, what you're seeing out there, to start the breeding season all over again. So we start off with our mammies, have babies and start that whole process all over again.
Now, the sad thing about the mother is, when the mother does have the babies as such, sadly, she passes off, doesn't she? She dies away.
Life cycle complete.
No, that's unbelievable.
But she leaves 100 babies behind. Yeah. So the babies are self-sufficient in a way, because once babies hatch out of the ground, they have no mammy or daddy. So they're self-sufficient.
They're a cold blood are the animal, I suppose is the way to put it. So there's no heart as such. There's no bones involved in this.
No, it's just meat and muscle.
They're
made up of, yeah.
That's unbelievable. Now, let's move on from there, obviously. Where do you sell these snails to?
Because we have two markets. And we do live to England, to restaurants, and we do jars to England and Ireland over here. So the main thing we aim for at the start of all this was restaurants. Going into restaurants. Okay. So we've been lucky before COVID, when everything was normal. We were in Donegal, to Kerry, Belfast, Dublin. We had all these restaurants that we were selling to. And then we do live shipments then that we go to England with, that we sell direct to restaurants. And once the chef gets them, then he can do whatever he wants to do. But the problem with that now is something we're looking to stop doing. Because with Brexit and all this now, just the delays of customs now.
Of course.
Delays. And when you're sending a live animal, I don't want them to be 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, in transit.
Yeah,
because that can get messy.
Yeah.
And even the finances at the moment, we're still very up in the air. We don't know where we are with Brexit at the moment. Yeah. So we could be actually losing a lot as well on that. So obviously you're starting up a situation where you're hoping to sell it to an Irish market if we broaden our minds. Yeah. To allow this happen. Now, I tasted one a few moments ago with you, and I have to say, it was lovely.
Yeah.
And I know there was garlic butter on it, but if nobody told me what it was, I was just particularly happy to just eat what was put in front of me. I knew what it was, obviously, so there was a mental block on that. But it was very tasty.
Yeah. Oh, they're delicious. It's just to get Irish people out to try them and taste them and go from there.
Yeah. With it. So now, speak about the different functions and the different things that we can get out of snails. You were telling me about the frothy stuff, the slimy stuff, the obviously food value, the protein value. So let's start first of all with the slime. When you run your finger across the sucker part of the snail,
He'll start to bubble up.
Hmm.
And when you get that bubbling up, that's the natural slime inside in the snail itself. That, when you break it all down, is living live collagen. So for wrinkles, sore cuts in the hand or anything like that, that's what it's used for. It goes into the majority of beauty products that women already use and put in their face, but they don't know that they're putting it on the face, because it'll be the chemical numbers that is used and not snail slime, because if they ever put snail slime on a jar, no woman is ever going to pick it up.
No, I don't think so. We'll stick to the scientific lettering and numbering of it. Yeah.
So it's already used in that. It goes into anti-burns treatments. There's such a big market in this. And you have other countries already doing all these extra things, but Ireland is so new to snail farming that no one has got that far. It's all in front of us. We just haven't got that far.
Yeah. And you were telling us as well, or telling me, about the scientist that was looking at the whole idea of the gluing side of things. So what's the story with that?
It was officially released.
They were doing a bit of research on things.
And as far as I remember, it was a German one that was leading it, and there was different scientists from other countries involved with it. But they came up with a way now to make a reversible super glue off the snail slime.
A reversible super glue. That's mad.
So there's so many, we haven't found yet the amount of uses that it can be used for.
And even the amount of protein that are in these, the bodies of the the snail.
Seriously high.
You were telling me about a steak. Yeah. A steak versus a small snail.
Yeah.
And there's more, what did you say, there was more protein?
Yeah, they're classed as a superfood, health-wise superfood. Mm. Low in fat, seriously high in protein. Everything that's in this is just pure, raw, natural that you should be eating. So they are classed as a health food.
Yeah. And just on a personal note, do you enjoy snail farming?
Now, yes. At the start, we were making mistake after mistake, so it was very testing and patience. And even for us, it came to year four, and I thought we were done.
Yeah.
But we couldn't keep going on the way we were going on. So luckily enough, the first trip we ever got to make was to France. We've travelled a lot since that now, but the first one ever was to a snail farm in France. And that one trip, we don't know how important it was. We didn't know going out there.
Yeah.
That changed everything that we do. By seeing it done a totally different way and a more natural way, we took a lot of France back to Ireland with us and started going down that route. So that from start to where we are now, I love the way we're doing it.
It probably renewed your interest in it too, to see it done differently. And, you know, and you probably spotted, because escargot, let's call a spade, it is a French word for snails.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were probably quite passionate about it.
Oh, yeah.
And you were more than likely passionate about it too, but you probably lost a little bit of the grow because you probably found that it hard to keep it going and keep it financially lucrative.
Yeah. So it took a lot to get over that. So it was year five for us where the changes started being made, and to make this more natural and more efficient and more everything that we're doing. So if I had to keep going the way we were going at the start, and if that was the only way to do it, we'd be gone.
Yeah,
we wouldn't be able to keep it going. The way we're doing it now, we have no problem going bigger or anything. Now is the sweet spot now of snails are happy and the humans are happy.
But you've probably built up an awful lot of confidence because you started to know more about it. You got more into it. Yeah. You were probably more hands-on with it as well.
Yeah.
And the last 2 years obviously probably grew that little bit more as well because you probably had more time here to do it. Because obviously you were a hairdresser, or as you said, a barber in a different lifetime. So a big change.
Yeah.
So what year did you start it? You're talking about 5 years there. Is it 5 years ago or 6 years ago?
We started the snail farm itself on the ground here in 2014.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
I don't know how many years that is.
Yeah. Now. So you're talking eight years at this stage.
Yeah.
Right, okay, so you've been doing this.
It's like a lifetime now, to be honest.
But even, let's get down to it. No, I'm not going to ask you your own personal business on it, obviously, because you have your own markets and all that, but we will talk about the labelling that you have and what you're trying to pitch at the moment on that. But it is quite a lucrative business. When you were talking about the ton or the kg, tell us about a harvest, if you have a particular size harvest.
If you're selling a harvest, they normally go in 1 ton weight-wise pallets. On that one pallet, you're on average about 100,000 snails in a ton. So before Christmas just gone, before last Christmas, we were always getting the €4, €4.20 a kg, selling direct to factories. Now, because there's such a shortage of snails in the world, that exact same price now has gone up to €6 to €7 to €8 a kg.
So it's nearly doubled.
Yeah. It's not sustainable. They can't keep going. Factories can't buy in for double the price to produce a product that they're selling for the same price.
Yeah, okay. It just doesn't make business sense.
There.
Yeah.
So either the factory stop taking them or the shops won't buy them. Because if the price goes up, getting them into shops is the hardest thing. But this work comes back to us, how lucky we are. Because our price doesn't go up, because there are snails.
They are.
We're not buying them in or doing anything. There are snails, our farm going out, so the price for us doesn't change.
So exactly. So it doesn't cost you any more electricity. It doesn't cost you anything like that to literally work away the way you're working at the moment.
Yeah.
And here in Ireland, we all know that, you know, when you move over to the likes of France and Germany, maybe they might be a little bit more open-minded. Mm. How do you find, obviously you dealing with chef is fine, like they're good with it. How is the consumer with eating snails?
It's funny you say that now, because we aimed, as I said before, for the chef, the restaurant market when we started. Now we're looking more at the retail side, but we always never had the retail jars. Mm. Always. We used to sell them on our website. We still have them on our website. We have the small, medium and large. And the funny thing when you say about the consumer and what way, people that eat snails. They go for the biggest jar they can get. We were always looking at the two smaller jars for the retail size, but we found out that if people eat snails, they want...
Yeah, well, you're better off to buy it in bulk if you're into it, yeah.
Yeah, so it's amazing how you learn.
And do you find from feedback through your website that they buy because they enjoy the eating of the snails, or do they just want the protein kick from
the snails themselves?
Okay.
Because... Yeah, they're so easy. We have all the work done our side. Once we put them into jars, literally all you have to do is reheat them for 10 minutes.
And is there a cleaning process of them as well, that once you have them harvested, is there a cleaning down, like a washing down, that before you put them into jars to send them off?
Yeah, they'll be cleaned down. And then truck comes after they go to factories. Then we get them processed. And then they're brought back in jars. And then we label them, and all that work then is done here. The farm here.
And they're put into a brine, is it?
We, again, Irish people talk to everyone, but when we need to talk, we don't talk. When we went down making our own product route, we fully went down the frozen route.
Okay.
Thinking that's how chefs would want them. They'd want them in the freezer, there, whenever they wanted them, they were there. So we were fully 100% going down that route. And then we talked to chefs. To be told out that none of them wanted them frozen, that they wanted them as fresh as they could have them. So we had to do a massive U-turn on the frozen and come back. So that's how we ended up with in brine,
It
keeps them as fresh as possible for as long as possible. So that they're there, whenever they open them, they're ready to be used.
That's fantastic. And did you notice, obviously through your website as well, over a period of time, that people were beginning to get a little bit more open to the situation of eating them? Did the website start to sell more and more and more, or did you find that it was staying static?
Same level. We'll always creep up a little bit, but there's no huge...
Yeah, no jump. Burst. No, no big burst. Yeah. So people are still a little...
Oh, in Ireland, yes. We have to get them over the line.
And do you sell them overseas as well?
We have going to England. We had a distributor from America come in with us. This was, I think, in 2019, late 2019. He contacted us where he wants to take them to America. So we did all the paperwork. We got FDA approved. We did all this, all the certs, all the labels have to be changed for America and all that. And even with getting FDA approval, we had all the paperwork done that we needed. I found out that when you get them to America, because they're snails, you need more and more paperwork.
Yeah.
But it wasn't on our side to get it. It was on the distributor in America side. And then COVID hit.
Yeah. So there you go again. The brick wall went up there again.
So that just fell to the wayside. We might get that up and going again, but right now it didn't move after lockdowns and COVIDs and open, closed and open.
Now, I know you're finding it quite difficult at the moment as well, in the sense that you have to send them over to Europe to get them sorted out over there, and as a mess is washed up and whatever, and then put into your jars, in other words, send back to Ireland for you to sell them.
Insane.
It is.
But we're caught in a corner that we can't get out of, because there's no factory in England and no factory in Ireland that process or do anything with snails. So we have no choice but to go to Europe. Does it really bother me? Yes, because we're so sustainable till it gets to that part.
Yeah.
And then we kind of ruin it all by transferring stuff so far and so much. So we went looking over here to get investors to get our own factory, Irish factory from ground built up over here. And we were lucky enough to sit down with them and pitch and do all that stuff that you have to do that I wouldn't be an expert in any way. And I probably wasn't as professional as these guys are used to when they're standing in front of them, but I was just myself. So we're lucky enough to end up getting three investors on board. And the last investor we got, we pitched them in our house, in our kitchen table. And we shook hands, agreed everything. It was ready to go forward on this. And I'll never forget, that was the 3rd of March 2020.
Oh, there you go. And sure, look at the following week.
Yeah, the world goes into lockdown.
Everything seems to relate back to that time, doesn't it?
Yeah, so everything up to 2020, we were on a roll, we had momentum, everything was behind us, there's nothing we couldn't do. And then we wake up one day and...
That's it.
Everything changed.
But the protein element of the snails, I think, is going to be probably the humdinger in time.
Yeah.
That they are a natural, 100% natural source of protein. Yes. So that will make them an awful lot more attractive. I'm not saying that snails are unattractive as they are. They're not the most beautiful things, I have to say. But as an overall, I think the situation is going to be that direction, because we are getting an awful lot more health conscious. We're becoming an awful lot more, obviously, you know, within ourselves. We don't want to be putting any undue pressure on our own bodies by putting in substances that we don't know a whole pile about. So if it was something from the earth, I think we'd be an awful lot happier about that. So I do think that the protein is going to be a huge thing in time.
So we've been working on that now up in Dublin. And we've the first phases of that done now. I've turned them into a protein powder itself. So we've no flavours or anything with it now. That still has to be all worked on. But because it's a natural protein, what we're already trying to work off now is natural flavours. Natural blackberry juice, natural strawberry juice. We're trying to keep chemicals out of this as far and wide as we can. So because it's a natural protein, everything in it should be natural.
Yeah, absolutely. But once you get that, I think it will definitely kickstart for you. I just have a little smile on my face here thinking about, you know, you think of cattle and you think of sheep farming and all that and having to run around after them out gaps and that kind of an idea and putting up walls.
Yeah, we spent your childhood doing it.
We did, of course. And me not a million miles away from you, my home house. I remember being with you down here as well at times. But the crazy thing about it is snails don't go very far very quickly.
Lies.
Oh, really? Okay, prove me wrong. Go on.
I'm going to throw this back at you now.
Okay.
Average speed of a snail.
Yeah.
Meters per hour now, because they don't go kilometers per hour. So how many meters an hour do you think a snail travels?
Well, I would say about less than a half a meter an hour, I'd say.
No. Average speed of a snail is 47 meters an hour.
47 metres an hour.
Some go faster, some go slower, but the average is 47 metres an hour.
Really?
Yes.
I'm slightly shocked at that, because
no
any
one
snail
has ever got that right.
In my boredom as a child, and I staring at a snail out in the garden when nobody would play with me, I can guarantee you it didn't feel like they were moving 47 metres.
And the only way I can prove how fast they move is when we're harvesting.
Yeah,
and we're out in the field putting them into buckets to bring them into the shed. The quicker you put them in that bucket, the quicker they're out of that bucket.
Really?
Up they're in. They're straight up. So when they want to move, they can move.
That's unbelievable. And even on that, like, I know the government probably wouldn't be very up to date on snail farming. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful light to them.
It, yeah,
I just think it's new, it's fresh, it's different. Are there any kind of grants that you can get apart from a startup business or enterprise grant? Is there anything out there for sustainable snail farming?
We tried it all from Chagas all the way through to Leader, all the way to the other ones like Enterprise Ireland and all that. We never got one cent out of any of them. No matter what we said or what we did, we never ticked all the boxes. It's impossible. So this was all self. That's why we're the size we are when we started off, because we didn't have any money to go big.
Any bigger,
scale,
The crazy thing about it is, and I find this hard to believe, because when you think of it, obviously, you know, we breed sheep, we breed cattle. Snails are natural to the Irish environment.
Yeah.
So you'd wonder how, I suppose, that they don't look at it in a kind of in a serious light, because they are natural from the earth that we're in.
Gotcha.
So if they're here, why are they any different to anything else that's around the area?
There's no difference in it, but it's just because throughout the last generations after generations, Irish people don't eat them. So we never seen them as a major source of food. You leave England and go to France. From France, all the way through Europe, all the way back to America, all them countries eat them.
Yeah.
They're used to them. They eat them. So Ireland never seen them as food, so they never seen them to farm them.
I hear you.
But never, that bridge never got crossed now until we're starting to do it over here now. But the funny thing is, once you leave kind of England and Ireland, the world for snails opens up. It's a global market. It's just we don't see it over here.
Actually, we'll stick with our bacon and cabbage.
Oh, that'll never change. Yeah. But yeah, we've the best climate in the world for snails.
We have the rain.
Yeah.
Let's call a spade
a
spade.
That's what they thrive on.
They thrive in the rain. Yeah. The kind of humidity as well that's in the air at the moment. Yeah. Would you notice a change between a cold winter's day and, say, for instance, the humidity of today, which is roughly around 15 degrees? Yeah. Is there a difference in weather and the amount, say, for instance, the produce that you have?
Snails are, as you said, are an outdoor animal. Mm. They're designed to be outdoors, living their own natural lives. So snails can read the weather better than Met Airden can. Mm-hmm. So when a cold snap is coming, they'll already go into the ground and hibernate before that cold snap comes in. Yeah. They'll bury down, cover themselves over. They can even walk on the ground and not know they're even in it for cold weather. Once the weather picks up again, they're back out. Another cold snap comes 2 months later, same thing. Mm-hmm. Before it hits, they'll be in the ground, buried, hibernated. So they can read the weather a lot better than we can.
That's amazing. The intuition is just unbelievable. Yeah. And as should have often said about animals, keep an eye on the animals if anything is happening, like a storm or something like that. Or, you know, they always go to higher ground or under trees or whatever. So the intuition is amazing. Now, your own product here, because obviously, yes, you are selling it on and doing the bits and pieces. You've put an awful lot of work into your labelling, because I have to say it's very, very professional labelling. I will say that, and I'll just give you a pat on the back, because I know you've worked hard on that.
I take no credit.
Okay.
My wife, Sandra, designed every bit of that on a blank piece of paper.
It looks great. It looks very professional. Yeah. And I know that you're very strong on social media, and if people check you out on YouTube as well. What are you under on YouTube?
Exclusive Escargot, our snail farming story.
Snail farming story as
so
well.
We're trying to show pretty much everything that we do in the farm here, from breeding, raising, everything that we do, we try to show it to show people what it's like to be living and working on a snail farm.
Yeah. And are you encouraging other farmers to get involved in this as well? To kind of, are you one of those people that say, look, why don't you give it a shot? Give it a try. See how you get on with it. And
completely. And I know from my own dad, it's our generation that will be looking into it. Hmm. This, for my dad's generation or before, is a step too far. Hmm. They're not going to venture. So it's kind of our generation on when we're kind of looking at all new things and different things. I think it will catch on.
I think it will as well, especially with the, you know, we are obviously changing our habits when it comes to our lifestyles and all that. We're doing our recycling thing or doing the best we can with our recycling thing. The world is changing, as we know at the moment, climate change and everything else that goes along with it. And sustainability and biodiversity is a humongous part of our being at the moment, let's be honest.
All the important words going
forward. So I think the most important thing is if somebody's shown initiative with the whole idea of sustainable farming, why not support and why not applaud? Yeah. And, you know, I think it's brilliant. Yeah. It really is. Now, obviously, you're very, in all fairness to you, any time that I got in touch with you, we were supposed to have this chat years ago. But guess what kicked in? Yeah. COVID. But the thing about it is that you're very quick to get back to people on your social media platforms as well, your Instagram, because it's mainly Instagram that I get in touch with you about. Give us your website so people can try this out.
www.exclusiveescargot.com.
Excellent. So there you go. So www.exclusiveescargot.com is your website. I would urge people to try it out. It's amazing. I had them here. I was looking at them first and I kind of went, no. And then Sandra, fair play to her. She convinced both of us to give it a rattle there with some really lovely garlic butter. I must check out the recipe for that garlic butter too, by the way. But it was really, really lovely. I just want to applaud you. It's amazing when you first hear about it. Let's be honest here. When you first hear about it, there is a little bit of a chuckle that kicks in because, you know, snail farming.
I'll tell you the truth.
Go on.
Okay, we've 4 young kids now, so it's very rare we go to the pub. But even now, every 6 months, whenever we get a chance to go for a drink, even to this day, you'll go into your pub and you'll get people coming up to you going, you're the slug lad, aren't you? to this day.
Well, look, when you start talking facts and figures with them financially about what you can make per ton on this, yeah, I'll tell you, the smile is on the other side, yeah, of their faces.
But you always have that bit, I don't know what you call it, people kind of look at you a bit funny.
They do, but yeah, but the thing about it is, I as I said, I do applaud you for giving this a right good shot, and it's working out for you, which is fantastic as well. But let's talk 5 years' time. Where do you see Exclusive Escargot Ireland? Where do you see the company?
I'd love to see a factory over here set up in Ireland, where Irish farms, Irish factory, jarred, labelled, everything, so we have 100% Irish product that we can sell to the world. That's most important. Then the next phase after that, we'll be getting into the protein. And once we have the protein done then, don't know this, but over the five-year mark now, we'll be getting into the slime part. So we've phase one done, where we have a product with food. Phase two now is the protein. And then phase three is the slime. So we've all this mapped out now. We still have phases. All right, COVID has delayed us for 2 years. So this year now, it honestly feels like we've 2 years' work to do this 1 year to make up for everything that we missed out.
But you're willing to do that. And that's the good thing about it. You have bundles of energy and enthusiasm after your trip to
we
France.
We have to drive it, yeah.
And the next thing then is frog's legs. So what you have to start doing then is you get a whole heap of frogs and start all that.
We were often lucky now before COVID, when everything was normal, because we got to Poland, we got to Ukraine, we've travelled around Ukraine. What's happening out there now is just frightening. Mm-hmm. We've talked to the farms out there before they were called up for the army. That time it was just frightening what's happening out there. And we've done all that. So the big, big farms, we've been to them and travelled to them and seen them and talked to them and kind of spent days out there with them. So we've often looking out to have travelled and made so many connections in this. It's just, I could write a book. Yeah. No one would buy it, but I could write a book on it.
Well, you could sell it at a snail's pace, which would be perfect. Yeah. But before we go, because we're just coming up on the 40 minutes now, tell me very quickly, or tell the listeners very quickly, about the milking process when it comes to it. Because I have this vision in my head of a whole heap of cattle down along a milking parlour being milked. But you spoke about milking snails.
For slime, yes. And this is phase three now for us. It literally is the same idea as milking cows. We used to do it as kids here in the fair. We had dairy cows, we used to milk them. You're doing the same thing, just as a smaller animal.
Okay.
So you bring in snails, put them into this machine. This machine will milk the slime out of them. Doesn't kill them, doesn't harm them, doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
And then once they're milked, everything goes down and the snails can go back out onto the field to enjoy the rest of their
So all day. As it does, it goes to the sucker, in other words, from where they... I don't know, that's probably a professional word for that.
To describe it in human's eyes,
yeah,
it's literally a sauna for snails. It's steam. So they're put into this hood, plastic hood that goes over them. It clips in, then steam
rises
and they don't like it. So they'll spit all this slime out, and because steam is lighter than slime, steam goes up, slime comes down. So it's literally a sauna for snails, to where they get to relax for 20 minutes.
Absolutely. And detox.
Yes.
Let's call it detoxing. Yeah. Well, look, I just think it's fascinating. I really do. And I think it's a really wonderful move on your own behalf as well, because you have the area for it. You have the land for it. So why not give it a shot? But just once again, to give people an idea, what I spotted when I went outside was, obviously, you have the area well looked after, I have to say, now by Stephen and Sandra here and the kids. And of course, you're getting a bit of help across the road from the gang across the road, the in-laws, Sandra's in-laws, we'll call them that. And there's literally a long, maybe 4x2 running the whole way along the stretch that might be up on the mayonnaise, as we call them, the mayonnaise buckets. And then the lats are just left in over them like a 45-degree angle.
Yeah.
And on the underside of that lat is where all the snails reside. They all live there. And then that's unbelievable. It really is. So look, thanks so many for taking the time. This story is not over.
No.
Because
it's only starting.
It is only starting.
But after COVID now, this is our comeback. This is round two. And we're ready
you are.
To go.
You are. And I do wish you the best, because we did talk to finances and it sounds really good. And when you're driving a Ferrari and I'm not, you can tell me that it was a snail. But believe me, the Ferrari won't be driving at a snail's pace. I can guarantee you that. But yeah, we'll talk about this again, because I think it deserves another chat when you move on from COVID and come out the other side.
Yeah.
And then we'll have another chat about it. Stephen, to yourself and your wonderful wife and your kids, thanks very much indeed for inviting me into your kitchen. Thanks for giving me snails. It was lovely. And thanks for giving me a guided tour. I'm going to put a couple of pictures up on my social media as well, and you'll see the idea of what we spoke about today and everything else. So it was great. Stephen, thanks a lot.
Ronan, thanks for everything.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you for listening. Spread the word, and the next podcast will be slithering along on May 19th.